This is an interview for the Millworkers Oral History Project. Today I'm speaking with Emile Frechette on 395 East Avenue in Lewiston. This is Andrea Longier, and the date is February 7th, 2006.
I got the hearing aid now, I can hear you better before just a humming sound coming through my ear. Now I can hear you good.
Good.
Well, good, to a certain extent.
Could you start by giving me your full name?
My name is Emile A. Frechette, and I live at 395 East Avenue. Lived there for a good 38 years.
And what's your date of birth?
December 1st, 1915.
And were you born in Lewiston?
I was born, brought up in Lewiston, in downtown Lisbon Street.
What was it like at that time, the Lewiston community?
Oh, I mean, first of all, we're all big families, and very friendly to each other. Living in a two-in apartment house, about six units, and mostly all French, and families of, we'll say, from 6 to 10 or 12 children. And usually, I still remember when we used to go all either play ball or do something that passed time away. Mm-hmm. At mealtime, though, we all went home for lunch, and then right after lunch, we would get again. All day, we would be outdoor playing, doing things to kill time. Well, we always had friends that we could play with. Yeah. Never a dull moment, because there's always a big group of young kids, you know, that we could play with.
Yeah. And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I was in my family, we were 10. We were 7 brothers and 3 girls. Yeah. And I was one of the 7th in the family. Mm-hmm. 7 boys. And we managed to have good times, bad times together. Mm-hmm. And mom was home at home most of the time to take care of us. Dad used to work 7 days a week. And we saw him when he came back from work, and then he would go back. He'd be working 12 hours a day at the time.
And where did he work?
Over at the Androscoggin Mill. We lived close to that Androscoggin Mill. And he worked there, and besides, sometimes he had a part-time job because they could have a large family too. Mm-hmm. Supply them to feed and dress up. And
What did he do at the mill?
He was a watchman. First of all, he was like a janitor. I mean, working in the boiler room. And then he was a watchman for a good many years. And he always enjoyed his work. He enjoyed talking with people. And he kept busy most of the time. And that scared whatever time Dad came home. Well, we didn't see much of him, but we were always happy to see him. Yeah.
And what were your parents' names?
My father's name was Joseph Frechette, and then my mother's name was Clarina. And they were both, they came from Canada, the two of them, at the age of 10 and 12 years old. And then apparently when they got to be 18, 20, I don't know what year, that they got married. So they got married in Lewiston. And us kids were all born in Maine, all in Lewiston. And these kids today, they're all grown up. Well, out of 10, there's only 3 left. Myself, I've got a brother, Willie, and a sister, Cecile. Brother Willie's 91. It will be 92 in September, and I've just turned my 90s. And my younger sister, she's 86. And she's full of it. She talks.
Yeah. Now, did your grandparents live in Lewiston, or were they in Canada?
My grandparents lived on Park Street for a good many years. And when she passed away, she was still living on Park Street. Yeah. My grandfather died. He was only 49. I never got to know him. But my grandmother lived to be 90. And, saw him quite often because Dad was going over. I remember I was just a young boy. I used to follow Dad to see Grandma. This I still remember. Yeah. Oh, every time I go out there, she has something good for us. Maybe that's one reason I wanted to go so badly.
And did your dad have a car when you were growing up, or did he walk?
Was that again?
Did he walk to the mills to go to work?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did walk to the mill. Well, I worked at W.S. Libby. Started there in 1938. Finally got a job as a weaver. And I lived up, we'll say, Bleachery Hill, which is maybe a good mile and a half from the mill. We walked back and forth. The wife and I, we walked back and forth every morning. Be up at 5 in the morning. We had started work at 6 in the morning. 6, and then at 2:30 we were all done. Our day's work was over. But we did walk morning and night. Yeah. I didn't have a car before I was 35 years old. I had a little bicycle that I could use around, but once I got the car, boy, I felt like a big shot. I was going with a car, a brand new car. Yeah.
And so can you tell me about your time in the mills and what you did for work?
Oh, my time in the mill as a weaver. I was at the Libby Mill. I worked there a good 6 years. And then that was during World War II. Mm-hmm. And I was fixing looms for a while. And then they had a hard time getting help as weavers. Most of these weavers left their job to go work in Portland, Maine, building these Liberty ships in Portland. So really they had to shut down one department. The department that I was a loom fixer, they shut that down. So my overseer asked me if I wanted to go as a weaver. That's going downhill instead of being a fixer, less money. I said, okay, just for a while, but I did it for over 3 years. And then finally the Army got me into the Army. I went in 1944 and 45. Went in for service. When I came back from service, I said to myself, instead of going over to Libby, Bates Mill was a little bit closer, and a bigger mill, I said, I'm going to try my luck there. So I went in and applied for a job, and I finally got in the same day, though. They hired me right off as a weaver. I told them I was a little loom fixer, and within a few months, I went in as a loom fixer, and I did that for a good maybe 5 years, 6 years. And then finally, I needed a supervisor on the third shift because supervisor was sick and he may be off for a month or so. But the poor guy never came back because he passed away. So that job was offered to me. And I took the job and I did that for 15 years on a third shift. I had a crew of about 45 to 50 people I had to supervise. And it was the nicest people to work with. They helped each other. Any problem that came along, I mean, I was around to help, and other older fixers were around to help also. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes a good many years there. I spent over 25 years at Bates Mill. Mm-hmm. At the end, while I was kind of fed up looking toward retirement, and I had bought a few apartment buildings. They had about 18 units to maintain, and I enjoyed the... I went in as a landlord for a good 15, 20 years. And as of now, I'm still a landlord in this, my own building. And I said, well, hold on to the last minute, because I just enjoy being with the people that I have, especially all the people that I have here into my apartment building. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy myself during my lifetime, yeah.
And you said your wife worked at the mill too?
She also worked at the mill. Before I married her, she was working at the mill. And she was a drawing girl, which was kind of a skilled job. I mean, she did that for a good many years. Then when I married her, she was still working. We worked together at the same place. And then when the boy was born, when she got pregnant, we had an agreement that she wanted to stop working for until the boy grows up. So when the boys were 7 years old, the wife got tired of being in the house all the time. He said, I'm going out looking for a job. I couldn't believe it. I said, you're going out? Well, go ahead. So she did. Went out, she got a job the first day. So she was happy about that. Funny, as bad as the first paycheck that she got. She came home, she got the paycheck, she said, what am I going to do with that? I said, sure, see that, do what you want. So she decided, well, put it in the bank. So she did. Then after she had a good amount of money, she said, oh, about buying a new car. Well, I was all for it. I said, I agree with you. So we bought a brand new car, yeah. And we had that car We had it for a good many years. We enjoyed it, the two of us. As time went on, we were happy together. We were married for 58 years. And now she passed away just about 8 years ago. Yeah, missed her for a good couple of years. It was awful. And then you finally get used to it. And I started going out. And met a lady friend, which she had lost her husband. As of now, we've been going out for about 5 years. We both enjoy ourselves. She lives alone, I live alone, she stays home, and I stay home, but we meet weekends, go out, eat. In other words, never a dull moment. Yeah. If I do get lonely, I can get the phone, call up. Yeah, so it makes it nice.
That's great. So. Yeah. You were talking about, before we started the interview, you were talking about the hockey team. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, the hockey team. Once I talked with Rochelle over at the... Festival de Joie, Rochelle was there. Well, I knew her from way back, because when she came out of the hospital, well, she was a nurse, a head nurse at St. Mary's. So she was looking for an apartment. She lived in 211 building. That's where I got to meet her, good. So I started talking about the hockey team that we had in 32, we'll say. Winter 32, we had the... We were a group of young men, most of them were mill workers, but we were out of work. That was during the Depression. And we had, those kids were looking for work every morning. We go out and look for work. And after that, well, we used to meet, and we'll say late in the fall, we said, what are we going to do this coming winter? I said, we need a place to, we all like to play hockey. So we said, why don't we get together and build a clubhouse? So finally we got together, we built a clubhouse and a skating rink. We did that ourselves. We maintained the old skating rink and also the clubhouse. And then with that we formed a hockey team. We had good players. So finally we had a good hockey team. So okay, we played, practiced a lot. And then all through the city there was other young men, group of young men like this. They all did, we copied from them, let's put it that way. They had clubhouse, like they would say the Maple Leaf. I said, why don't we just do what the Maple Leaf did? Build a clubhouse and a skating rink, so sure enough. So there were four of us clubhouse like this. And so we found it at a meeting, and we decided that we'd form a hockey league. So we had a hockey league that we could play, at least we would meet at least once a week on the rink, and who's going to be the best at the end of the winter, so we'd be the winner. Then there was a jeweler, and I think his name was Sturdivant or something like that, I forgot. Well, anyway, he offered us a nice trophy, and that trophy would go to the winner of that league that we had formed. There were four teams, like the Maple Leaf, and we had the Mohawks. They were up by East Avenue where the YWCA is. Well, that's the clubhouse was right there. And there were the Flying Frenchmen by Tons Corner. And boy, they were flying. We had good rough time with them. But we had good times, good clean fun.
Yeah, and what was your team called? Was it Bates?
The Elosin Derbies. That's the original, we had that incorporated by the lawyer. We had the name, it was our name. And then right after the war, our clubhouse was all complete. We were all gone because most of these men, half of them never came back to Lewiston. They found work somewhere else and some of them died during the war. But this is the original Lewiston Derby I'm talking about, in 1932 and 35. 32 and 33. And anyway, we finally played a final game late in March, and the Lewiston Derbies were the winner. We played overtime one time. The last game that we played, we had to play it at the old ice arena, which they didn't have artificial ice. And it was kind of melty with water on the ice, but we finished that game and we finally won that trophy. And I still own that trophy here at home, I still have it. Got a picture of it, and so that was really interesting. And And we had good, clean fun. Mm-hmm. And that skating rink that we had, we also had public skating at nighttime. It would help us to pay our expenses. I remember one time we didn't have music for outdoors, so we finally had enough money to buy an amplifier. So we bought the amplifier, and then we had all kinds of the latest out that came out, his record that came out every week, that we would be looking for the good one. We buy the new records. Most every week we had new records. And a lot of these young men and young women, they were all 17, 18, 28, 22 years old. Quite a few of them met their wife out there at the public skating. And besides, this is where I met my wife. Because she had a brother and I kept after him. I knew he had a sister. I said, why don't you bring your sister skating? So he did one night. So he brought my wife in. Well, he brought her in, so I started skating with her, and then things went along fine. I kept bugging her to come back, and I finally, at the end, I was going to her house to pick her up and make sure she'd be over. So we skated all night. We really enjoyed winter. Yeah. Those were the good days, and we really had good time, good clean fun. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about some of the relationships between the French and the Irish in the mills. Do you have recollections of...
In the mill, there wasn't much problem in the mill. I mean, they got along fine. French, Irish, Polish. I supervised what they were all good. And most people were friendly. They were helping each other. It was good. It was mostly young boys when they were 12, 14, 15 years old. I mean, Irish, French, sometimes they would argue.
In the community?
Yeah. Well, so Knox Street, they had the Lithuanian and Polish, and the French, sometimes they didn't argue. I mean, they would start arguing. We never got into a real big fight. But we like to beat the Irish. We play baseball, we'd rather try to beat each other, try to be better than the others. But it wasn't that much of a fight. I've seen some people who were throwing stones at each other, but that wasn't that bad. Right. Of course, it probably was worse when I was young. I mean, when before I got to be with these kids, I was just a little boy, and then. But yeah.
When you worked in the mills, a lot of the French who worked in the mills didn't speak a lot of English.
Yeah, quite a few of them couldn't speak English. So this is what made it nice in my case. Because I could translate. They would come to me. They wanted to see, they weren't happy sometimes about the job that they had. And I had fixed the job according to first and second shifts, so the third shift would be the same amount of work that they would have to do. But they just couldn't, wasn't happy with that. They wanted to talk to the higher-up, the overseer. So I would bring them in the office and ask my overseer, they'd like to talk to you. And they would talk to the overseer, but I would have to translate. They just couldn't speak English enough to let them know. They would tell me what they weren't happy about. So I would tell my overseer, and then they would translate to me. And then at the end, we would be walking out at that office. They would be happy because they had their say. And at the end, the jobs were most of the time, they were evenly divided. But sometimes they just couldn't see it that way at first. Every week it would change, you know, just the job setup would change. They had so many machines to take care of. I always made sure that my shift would be the same as the first or second shift. But sometimes I had to make a different, it would be a different machine, better be using the same amount of yarn. It wouldn't be any harder to take care of this machine or this other machine. So that's what sometimes it bothers them a lot. But at the end, there was no fight. They would listen, but sometimes they would... At the end, they were happy because they had their say. They went out, they told the overseer what they thought about the job. It was big. Because I've seen women working in there. Well, older women, sometimes they were slower than the young one. And those jobs were evenly made for a certain person. And these older women were kind of slower. So what they had to do to keep up with their work, during they should have had a 15, 20 minutes lunch time. But instead of having a lunchtime, they would carry their sandwiches in their apron. They would take a bite, you know, take a bite, put the sandwich back in the apron, and then keep on working. They would keep up with their work that way. If they would sit and eat for 15 minutes, it would be that it would be able to keep up with the work at home. But I've seen that done. It wasn't nobody's fault, but they were getting old and slower. Yeah. But finally managed to. I always try to make them happy. Most of them were happy because I had people on my shift. They were on third shift for a long time, good many years. And they had a chance to go on first shift by seniority. And they refused. No, I'd rather stay on third shift. So they enjoyed being on third shift. That's what I said. I always said that. And we were always friendly, friendly together. They would talk to me as if I knew them from way back. And that's no, if they had anything to say, they would just say it. And yeah.
Do you, what strikes do you remember the years that you were at the mill? That there were any strikes?
Strikes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They had one time. A big strike. I don't remember too many out there because I went in right after the war. They just couldn't keep up with the work. They're working 6-7 days a week. I don't remember any big strike that we had at the mill.
Yeah.
As the only big strike I remember was 1937.
The shoe strike?
The shoe shop strike.
What do you remember about that?
Well, I was working in the shoe shop then. That's 1937. So I started 1938 in the mill. Well, 1937, I had a job there. I was working in the shoe shops. And the CIO came in. That was something new. They want to unionize the shoe shops. So they came in, and I remember going in the first day of the strike. I went into work just the same. I didn't strike. I went there for a couple of days. I was single then. And then the first day I went in there, I was on piece work, and I made an average maybe, I don't know if I made a couple of dollars. So the next day I went in again, and it wasn't any better because there was hardly any people coming in. Mm-hmm. But they had me working, you know, all over, doing odd jobs. And so finally, the third day, I didn't go in there. So the boss of that shoe shop called me home, and he wanted me to come in. Well, I told him, I'm not happy about what you're giving me. I'm making just $2 a day. And while he's come in, we'll take care of that. So I went in for a couple of days after. They were giving me $5 a day, and they wanted me to come in. But I said to myself, all these other people are out of work. It's not right for me to come in and work, now that they're striking. So I didn't go back there. So that lasted a good 3 or 4 months. It lasted a long time. And then my shoe shop, what happened, disappeared. They just closed down, and they moved to I think it was out in Portland. They moved to Portland. So I was out of a job, completely out of a job. This is where I had to decide, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Then I went in as a weaver at the W.S. Libby. But that was really, a shoe shop really didn't help much. A CIO didn't help much for a long time. It did cause a lot of problems. But finally, they didn't do much with that.
Yeah, and then was it around 1950 when the United Textile Workers Union came into the Bates Mill?
Yeah, when they came in 1950, what is it, 1950?
48, 50, something like that.
See, I don't remember when they went in. I do remember in a while they went in, but I didn't join the CIO. I didn't join the textile worker. I was a weaver at the time, and I remember because I didn't join, some of these older people in there did join. They got after me quite a few times to join like they did. And I finally decided to join. Because if you don't come in for chances, we won't be able to help you, this and that. I said to myself, well, why don't I join them? So I joined them. But it was a big help in a way. It was so funny about this union. These loom fixers. They made, most of these loom fix in the weaving department would make up their own rules. They have a, would have a meeting, and that would be the new law that it's going to be a certain way. But if it did affect some of these weavers, these loom fixers sometimes, they would go back to another meeting. They would change a law that they had made a few months ago because it didn't suit them right. They'd probably lose a few dollars. So this is what I didn't like about the union. But once I went in as a supervisor, I was out of that. I couldn't join the, I was out of the union then. Mm-hmm. I did that for 15 years, and that was good for a good many years, but at the end I was fed up, and I was more interested. I bought quite a few building, renting units. So I was interested in being a landlord, and I made good on that, because I could maintain all the, anything that came up, carpentry, electrical work, anything that came along, I took care of my own building. Very seldom that I would have to ask someone to come over. Well, I should have been a landlord years ago. And a lot of these people, same way up here, I have all the people up here, they're all in their 80s, 86. Mm-hmm. They know I'm 90, they know well enough that I'll be gone soon, or they keep telling me, hold on to the building to the last minute. And I do intend to keep holding on to the building to the last minute. Because I enjoy being a landlord, and I enjoy being with these people. They're good. Mm-hmm. They're all older people. They did own home before. They sold their home because a wife couldn't take care of a house. A house was too big. So they moved there. And the only time they go, one of them disappear, and then when they pass away, either the man or the woman. I had a woman and they passed away, her husband stayed there maybe a few months after she passed away, and then fell down, couldn't take care of himself anymore, so he went, moved into one of these nursing homes. Yeah, I enjoyed my life for a good many years.
Were there any, social events or other sorts of things that the mill did over the year? I think there was
We did our own, though, especially around Christmas time. We would have Christmas parties at the Knights of Columbus. We had that. We had good friends in there. We would meet there and had good times on that. Yeah.
Were a lot of your friends people who worked in the mills, or, your social circle? Was it people you met in the mills or people you knew outside of the mill?
People that I met and worked in the mill. We got together. Yeah. Most of these people that worked in the mill, some that I knew they had worked into other mills that I worked with. Mm-hmm. And some of them had worked at the Bates and then they transferred to another mill. But were people that I knew very well, and they were nice people. So we had a nice evening. Yeah.
Did any of your brothers or sisters work in the mill?
Yes, I have a sister and brothers. Yeah, it was years ago, though. Mm-hmm. My sister, Cecile, she worked in the mill for a good many years. Yeah. She enjoyed her work. I had brothers that worked, and then they finally decided to go work out of state. Oh. They left the state of Maine and went into Cape Cod as a chef, as a cook. Mm-hmm. They made good outside of state of Maine also. But I stayed in Maine the most for a lot of my lifetime, yeah.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about regarding your time working in the mill that you want to add?
Over in the mill?
Yeah, about your time in the mill. Is there anything that I have not asked you that you think we should add?
Yeah, I know what you mean now. There isn't too many things that I can think of.
What was the air quality like in where you worked?
Well,
I know some people have talked about the cotton in the air. Was it in the room?
Well, the humidifier that they had kept spray, but it didn't bother me that much. The weaving department wasn't that bad. It's a noise that got the best of us. Because I'm out of hearing today, because I blame it, because there's an awful, awful noisy department. The weaving department is one of the worst for noise. And a lot of time, well, at the end, I was so used of that noise, I would be talking to people, I would read their lips as they talked to me. I could hear what they were saying by moving of their lips. I could tell, I could translate what they were. So came a time that I could read their lips better than what I could hear through my hearing. But
Did the mill supply you with earplugs or anything?
After 20 years, I would say. The last 2 or 3 years that I worked there, finally they came over and they gave us a test on our hearing, and they would supply the earplugs. Mm. If I remember right, I denied the idea of putting earplugs. Sometimes I would wear them, other times I wouldn't wear those because I would keep on reading their lips and I could make out better by hearing, seeing their lips move, and I could tell what they wanted. Especially the impression on their face, I could tell they were happy or not happy. So they were smiling, I was smiling, but they were smiling, I was serious. Listening to what they had to say. But most of the time, they finally made out what they wanted to know and tried to settle up things so they would be happy. Mm-hmm. I always try to make them as happy as I could. And most of the time, I did succeed. As of today, I have people that work for me at Bates Mill. And I call them and they call me. We talk about the mill. Want to know who's living or where is she. The Philippine woman there. Was she still home or she's still in a nursing home? And Cecile Lassan, she worked there. I get good information for Cecile. Yeah, she's in a nursing home. And there's a Muriel, Muriel Plo. Well, I knew she was sick and she was on the dialysis machine. So I called up Cecile a few months ago and she told me, Muriel just passed away. I do check your paper every morning, but that one there I missed. So I get information from these old people, whoever's left, but there isn't too many left that worked there when I was there. I still got a few though. I can call and get information. I still do that. And I do enjoy it when they call back. Yeah. Sometimes I tell them, if you don't call, I'm not gonna call you back. So they do call because they wanna know the information as much as I do. After all, we've been there. I worked there a good 25, and I know Cecile worked over 35, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And her friend Emma, Rochelle's aunt, niece.
Emma.
Emma.
Her aunt.
Yeah, have you met her?
Yes.
Oh, she's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, Emma.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. If I could.